WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration is designed to prepare students to lead in the social sector by combining classroom learning with field education and 5 focused pathways. The final deadline for the program is April 1st. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork.
Hey Chicago, I'm Susie Ahn, in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop. As Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson attempts to hold ICE accountable with executive actions, a former mayor, his predecessor Lori Lightfoot, is spearheading her own effort to document alleged abuses by federal immigration agents. The ICE Accountability Project officially launched last month. Lightfoot served as mayor from 2019 to 2023. Prior to that, she held key roles related to police accountability in Chicago. She's also a former federal prosecutor. Mayor Lightfoot joined me today on the show, and I started by asking about her reaction to Operation Midway Blitz and the immigration enforcement we've seen more recently in Minneapolis.
Well, what's clear is what we're seeing on the streets here in Chicago and Chicagoland and in Minneapolis and other places across the country is a group of federal immigration agents who don't have proper training, clearly aren't supervised well, and there's a notion that they have quotas that they have to meet, and certainly it looks that way. I'm a former federal law enforcement official myself. I know that you can do your job the right way constitutionally. Nothing what we've seen really since L.A. Speaks to the constitutionality, due process, or just recognizing the basic human rights of individuals. Nothing that they are doing comports with what we'd expect out of a democracy.
Well, now turning to this initiative, how would you describe the ICE Accountability Project? What is its goal?
Our goal is to create a centralized repository for all of the information, videos, stills, audio that's out there about instances in which people believe that federal immigration agents have crossed the line. We believe that it's important to have it in one place, not have it disappear on somebody's cell phone, maybe a social media platform, maybe it lasts there. If we can create a centralized, lasting repository, one, it'll be a place that the public can go to better understand what's actually happened in their neighborhoods, in their region. Number two, it gives folks who are empowered to conduct investigations about whether or not ICE or immigration agents have committed offenses and criminal conduct. But I also hope, frankly, having that there is a deterrent against future conduct. But if it's dispersed in 1,000 different places, it doesn't feel as powerful as having it in one place.
Well, a state commission on ICE will be taking stock of how aggressive federal immigration enforcement is affecting people and their communities. So would you say your project is more about empowering the public? How would they work together? How are those two things different?
Yeah, I think the work that we are separately doing is actually complementary. The chair of the state commission, former Chief Judge Ruben Castillo, somebody I've known and admired for 30 plus years. We've had multiple conversations about the work that they're doing. I think what they're really focused on is assessing the traumatic harm that individuals and communities have experienced. Our focus is let's document it. Let's create this archive so that it can be acted upon. As you well know, there's no statute of limitations for murder. There's long statute of limitations for other crimes. Let's get that information there so that people who have the power to do something will do something.
And so you mentioned this as a repository. How can people submit? What can they submit?
They should go to reporticenow.com. That's reporticenow.com. And you'll see when you get to the website, there's a report an incident page, and you can put in all the information you have. Obviously, date, time, a narrative about what happened. If you've got video, if you've got stills, you're able to easily upload that information. And then we have a two-tier process for verifying the information that's submitted. And so we got to get the word out and encourage people to go to reporticenow.com.
So folks can also give a statement or testimonial, even if they don't have images or video.
Yes. Okay. Yes, if they don't have images or video, but want to provide information about what they experienced, what they saw, what their neighbor experienced, they certainly can do that. And having the video or other media is not mandatory in order to be able to report a particular incident.
And so this launched a month ago. What type of material has been submitted so far?
Well, there's a range of different things that have been submitted. We're pleased that we've literally had thousands of different hits and people visiting the site, a wide array of demographics of people who have come to the site in geographies. We are in the process of talking with folks in Minnesota, in Maine, and other places. And candidly, I don't think CBP or ICE is finished with Chicago. Now, there's always a small contingent of ICE agents that are here, but we fully expect that this is going to ramp up as the spring comes, as the summer comes. We want to be prepared. So we're reaching out to various advocacy groups to educate them about the fact that reporticenow.com exists. And so I expect the numbers to go up.
And so folks can submit, but is your team also looking at, you know, various social media postings and maybe asking folks to submit to the repository?
Yes, we have just brought on a group of researchers who are doing exactly that. We're combing social media sites. There's a couple of specific sites out there that are focused on documenting the movements of ICE. And some of this stuff is well documented. It's a question of let's call that information. Let's put it up on our site. So we're doing both. We're going back through, for example, the court proceedings that were before Judge Sarah Ellis in federal court. There's a lot of documentation here. I heard, listening to the show earlier, that the court has ordered the public disclosure of information from the attack on and shooting of Ms. Miramar Martinez. That's going to be a trove of interesting and useful information. So we're proactively looking for opportunities to enhance the archive of information that we have on reporticenow.com.
And what made you personally want to get involved in this issue?
Well, sitting on the sideline is not really my style. And as I started to see how these federal immigration agents were roaming through communities and really wreaking harm, it was way beyond just terrorizing folks in Little Village in Pilsen. That was absolutely happening. But the aggressive force to also just a show of force, for example, along the biggest commercial corridor, second largest in our city in Little Village, just to help cause harm and terror, pulling people out of their vehicles, indiscriminately releasing tear gas and other chemical agents, having snipers up on the top of the building in Broadview, shooting down into a crowd of peaceful protesters. I was incensed watching that. And as somebody who has spent a significant amount of my professional career investigating police-involved shootings, excessive force, and misconduct on the part of law enforcement, it made me angry that this was happening. And so I started talking to folks about a way that I could contribute and give people a sense of ownership over the moment. And this is really what the ICE Accountability Project was born out of. Certainly my frustration and anger, but my desire to do something positive to help people feel like they were empowered.
Well, you know, to that point, along with that, federal immigration agents, as you know, have killed several people in recent months. Silverio Villegas Gonzalez, Renee Good, Alex Preddy, Keith Porter. The feds have been barring local and state authorities from investigating. What's the best practice there?
Well, the best practice is actually do your job and investigate. What the feds have done, particularly in Minnesota, is say we're covering it up. When you have the Secretary of Homeland Security, the Vice President, the President on down, basically exonerating the actions of the agents with literally felt like within minutes of the incident happening is a whitewash. There's not going to be any meaningful federal investigation. We've seen in Minneapolis the number of assistant U.S. attorneys, the job I used to hold, resign in protest. There is not going to be any meaningful federal investigation. Of course, they should be cooperating with local law enforcement. But I'm really encouraged by the actions of the Hennepin County attorney. You've seen the Philadelphia district attorney and other district attorneys across the country who are saying, we're not just going to stand idly by and let this happen on our watch. If you do things in our jurisdiction, we're going to investigate and we're going to prosecute. And candidly, that's exactly what should be happening here. Mr. Gonzalez, who you just referenced, was killed by federal immigration agents on September 12th of last year. From what I can see, no meaningful investigation has been done of that incident. That's outrageous and has to change. Miss Miramar Martinez, shot 5 times, just by the grace of God that she is alive. Where is the investigation of that agent who was so egregious in his conduct that the federal government, which, by the way, never should have brought charges against her, but they've dismissed the charges with prejudice. So what's going on in Chicago, in Chicagoland, that these egregious things are happening and nothing is being done about it? And I hate to say it, but if there had been an investigation of Mr. Gonzalez's killing, would Renee Good have happened? Would Alex Pretty still be alive? Impossible to know. But if we had set a precedent here in September or even October, maybe there would have been some more constraint in Minneapolis and other jurisdictions across the country.
Now, this project seeks to document actions by ICE. How hard is that to do when many federal immigration agents continue to wear masks?
It's challenging, but not impossible. When I worked at the police department back in the early 2000s, I led a civilian organization that investigated police misconduct. And many times, and this is before the time when we had a lot of cameras everywhere, every single agent has a tell. They have a height, they have a weight, they have a body mass, they have a particular kind of mask that they wear, they have a badge. Some of them wear jewelry, some of them have tattoos and other things that distinguish them. Now, we may not know as civilians without subpoena power what their names are, but we can collect the information and post a profile of these agents. And some of them, frankly, like Greg Bambino, that guy needs to be investigated, in my view, as leading a criminal conspiracy in everywhere that he's gone. He obviously is well known. But these other agents, all of them have distinguishing characteristics that I think set them apart. For example, there was a terrible incident up in Evanston on Halloween where an agent pointed a gun at a crowd. That same agent then went on the other side of a vehicle, had an individual on the ground, sitting on top of his back. The individual's hands were behind his back, and recorded on film is that agent pounding this individual in the head with his fist. Where's the investigation of that guy? And again, he was very distinctive looking. He has red hair, red beard. We could figure out who that is and do something about it. And I encourage your listeners, if they know about these incidents, they had firsthand knowledge or they have video, go to reportisenow.com. It's not too late. Upload the information that you have.
Another notable local effort to hold ICE accountable is Mayor Brandon Johnson's ICE on Notice executive order. It directs Chicago police to document alleged abuses by federal agents and refer cases for prosecution if it appears the law has been broken. You're a former federal prosecutor. Is this feasible in your view?
Well, look, here's what I will say. I've been following the back and forth between Mayor Johnson and State's Attorney Eileen Burke. It's interesting political theater, but it doesn't get anything done. And increasingly, it feels like an excuse not to do anything. September 12th, Silverio Gonzalez got killed. Where's the investigation? Ms. Miramar, the shootings that happened at Broadview on innocent people protesting peacefully. Where is the investigation? You cannot tell me that there can't be something done. There can. Law enforcement bodies are empowered. The state's attorney is empowered to do her job. That's what is needed. All this back and forth just delays the obvious. Do your job. Do the investigations. Call balls and strikes. It is not impossible to prosecute federal agents if they exceed their authority. And you cannot justify and say it's within bounds to shoot on innocent people like snipers did in Broadview. It is not justified that a guy who just dropped his kids off at school ends up dead for a botched traffic stop with agents who are not identified as law enforcement. That poor man probably thought he was getting carjacked. It's not justified what happened to Ms. Martinez. But I don't need to be the judge and jury. What I want, and I think what most residents in this county want, is for the people who are empowered to do their job to do just that. Open up a grand jury investigation. Start collecting evidence. It is in abundance out there. Do your job.
Well, I want to ask you specifically about the recent internal memo from Cook County State's Attorney Eileen O'Neill Burke. She called Mayor Johnson's executive order inappropriate and that it jeopardizes her office from effectively prosecuting federal agents when they have committed a crime. What's your reaction to that? I mean, is now the time is it a legal moment? Is it a political moment right now?
It shouldn't be a political moment. It should be a moment to be about justice and making sure that the deaths, the shootings, the beatings are holding people accountable for conducting themselves in a way that violates people's basic rights, that violates the Constitution, and importantly, violates the oath of office that each of those agents have taken. You can always find excuses not to do the right thing, but courage and leadership is about doing the right thing, stepping up, stepping into the void. We are not going to get meaningful investigations out of this Department of Justice or this U.S. Attorney's Office here in Chicago. I am sad to say it has to be at the local level. It can be done. Stop the nonsense. Stop the fighting back and forth. Focus in. Do your job. Convene a grand jury investigation. Rally law enforcement, as most prosecutors would do, and lead.
Well, you've held key police accountability roles in Chicago. What's different about holding a city police officer accountable for alleged wrongdoing versus a federal agent?
There's a couple things that are different, but certainly are not barriers for this to get done. You've got to demonstrate, but really as you have to demonstrate with any person who is allowed to use lethal force, that they've exceeded the scope of their authority. I investigated literally hundreds of police-involved shootings. Every single one of those has the same criteria for evaluating them as would be done in a federal case. What's more complicated in this instance is the federal government refuses to cooperate. In many instances, they've taken the evidence, but it's not impossible. Do your job. Open up a grand jury investigation. Subpoena witnesses. There's a lot of video evidence out there, but if you do nothing over the passage of time, it becomes increasingly impossible to do anything because memory fades, evidence disappears. You've got to act while in real time when the incident happens, but something needs to be done. I think about the scenes of the burial of Mr. Gonzalez, that wooden box of his remains going to his home city in Mexico. I think about his children who are now orphans because their mother had passed away. They deserve answers. He deserves justice. I think that if we don't step up in this moment, we will forever regret it, but history is not going to look kindly on any of us. This is our moment to push back and frankly, take back our democracy from this mob of untrained thugs that are running through our streets, our cities, and terrorizing our neighbors. And not just doing that, but taking lives, attempting to take lives. Something has to be done. And the people who are empowered to do something have to do their jobs.
Well, Mayor Johnson says he plans to use a 30-day rulemaking period to address O'Neill Burke's concerns. The mayor wants agents held accountable for wrongdoing, but O'Neill Burke says her office has, quote, an obligation to follow the law. Could you see a compromise, a middle ground here?
Look, every single local police officer in this state already has jurisdiction to investigate these crimes. The state's attorney, whether it's here in Cook County or look at what's happening in Lake County, they all have the authority to investigate these crimes now. This isn't complicated. The back and forth is political theater, but it doesn't get to the root of the problem, which is that lives have been taken, lives have been harmed, and the adults need to step up and do their job or, frankly, get out of the way.
Now, we don't know yet if ICE and Border Patrol will be back in force in the spring, but when former Border Patrol Chief Gregory Bovino left in the fall, he said agents would be back. If that happens, what role do you see the ICE Accountability Project playing?
Well, I think we'll be active and engaged. We'll be making sure not only that we are documenting, but that we are calling out the misconduct that invariably is going to happen. These federal immigration agents haven't suddenly been transformed. They haven't suddenly got better training. They suddenly haven't gotten better supervision. So we will be here calling out what we see and encouraging people to take back control of their geography under their feet and hold these folks accountable. And reportIceNow.com is one way to do that.
We've been speaking with former Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, creator of the ICE Accountability Project. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube, but what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
Now to cover the biggest stories of the day, at the table, WBEZ Morning Edition anchor Claire Lane, WBEZ Weekend Edition anchor and reporter Michael Puente, and Sophie Sherry, reporter with the Chicago Sun-Times. We started with a lackluster Super Bowl last night. Here's Mike.
I watched. There was a game.
Of course,
the halftime show. So let's talk about the halftime show. It was mother beep, beep, beep. Great. One surprise after another. So it was bleep, 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 bleep. Awesome.
Awesome, awesome.
They always say, you know, if it's sort of a boring game the next day during the news, that defensive powerhouse. What a strong defensive showing. And that is certainly what we're hearing on NPL our morning long. I mean, it was kind of a bust. I was out for pizza, frankly, so I had my own Super Bowl fun.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, really, I think if you're not into the Seahawks, if you're not into the Patriots, it was really all about the halftime show.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I think I've heard most people who watched were big fans. What were you all hearing?
Gaga for Gaga.
Oh, yeah.
That was exciting.
That was. I mean, everyone's a buzz of Ricky Martin performing.
Yes.
Just came out. And it just is just one surprise after another. I love the ending. I love the pageantry. And just the, it just shows, you know, that the United States isn't just of one monolithic. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of different cultures. And I thought it was just beautiful. Almost made me cry.
Yeah. You know, as an editor, I will say also great story structure in how that was presented. I mean, it was a pageantry, but it just told a story as well, which I thought was beautiful.
The metaphor and, of the house party. Yeah, that was wonderful. It was epic storytelling.
Yes, and I was like, oh, is he okay crashing through that roof? But, yeah.
Sometimes you have to crash through the roof, right?
Then you had the wedding, and you also had the imagery of the light poles on there, the electric poles to bring attention to Puerto Rico's electrical grid problem. 100%. They're always having blackouts. So it was done very well.
Yeah, lots of meaning there. Well, turning to the news, Michael, there are growing calls to crack down on illegal tactics from federal immigration agents. Remind us about Mayor Johnson's executive order, ICE on Notice.
That's right. Mayor Brandon Johnson signed an executive order recently that talks about ICE on Notice. It outlines a framework for Chicago police to identify, document, and investigate and refer prosecution of federal agents found to have violated state or local laws to the state's attorney's office. Now, there is causing some controversy because Eileen O'Berg says she thinks this is it's highly inappropriate, that it could jeopardize some prosecution. So they're going to have to work it out with Eileen O'Neill Burke's office.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Sophie, I mean, it's causing some pressure on Cook County's top prosecutor. Fill us in a little bit more on what's going on there.
Yeah. Where to begin? This is all part of sort of mounting pressure for Cook County State's Attorney Eileen O'Neill Burke to sort of act in these cases to prosecute the alleged crimes of federal agents. As Mike mentioned, this all came to a head last week when she sort of publicly faced off with Brandon Johnson on the issue. We've seen prosecutors across the country from Philadelphia to Minneapolis take a much more aggressive approach than Burke, but she claims her office is extremely limited in its ability to actually prosecute and secure convictions against on-duty federal agents.
Yeah, so what do law experts say about local powers to curb federal agents?
Yeah, experts I spoke to are a bit split on the issue. Burke insists that a law enforcement agency would need to investigate a federal agent and bring her a case, and she would make charging decisions. That's how her office operates in her view. We spoke to one veteran attorney who agreed that that would need to be the sort of order of operations, but others push back against that. They think that if Burke has the will to do so, she could launch some sort of investigation. She could impanel a grand jury, that there are other more creative solutions at her disposal that she's not taking advantage of.
And we will be hearing from another law expert coming up later in the show. We'll be talking to former Mayor Lori Lightfoot in about 10 minutes to hear about her ICE accountability project. Claire Miramar Martinez, the Chicago woman who was shot 5 times by a Border Patrol agent last fall, said last week she was going to be a voice that challenged aggressive federal immigration agents. And Friday, she snagged a win in federal court. Can you catch us up on that?
Right. So we should note that Martinez was facing criminal charges for allegedly having assaulted that Border Patrol agent. Those charges were dismissed. And then on Friday, a judge gave Martinez permission to share with the public, which she has been, you know, very vocal and very visible this last week, to share with the public evidence from that case. So that includes text messages sent by the Border Patrol agent who shot Martinez, as well as photos of her car that were collected by law enforcement at the scene of the crime.
Wow. And any idea how soon we could see that evidence?
Yes. So the text messages, as well as some other evidence, photo evidence, potentially some video evidence, could be released as early as today.
Oh, okay.
So something we'll be watching as we know.
Yeah. And Claire, what does Martinez's legal team hope the release of this evidence will accomplish?
Right. So it's important to acknowledge that while the charges against her have been dismissed, the Department of Homeland Security continues to label her as a domestic terrorist. They have not rescinded that statement. So Martinez's attorneys say that this essentially gives her an opportunity to clear her name.
Well, Illinois farmers are trying to ensure that carbon dioxide pipelines aren't built on their land. Claire, what's going on there?
So this is in response to a statewide pause on CO2 pipeline construction that is set to expire coming up this summer in July. So farmers, you know, have been sort of approached in the last couple of years by some of these contractors, construction companies who say, you know, this is going to expire. We want to buy your land. Here's how much we want to buy it for. So the farmers are saying, no, we'd actually like to continue prohibiting this. And they're pushing the Illinois Farm Bureau to support a bill in the state Senate that would stop these private companies, continuing to stop them from seizing land to build these pipelines.
So for sure, something we'll be watching there. Now, turning to more sports, Winter Olympics. Anyone watching the games?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm always a big Winter Olympics watcher. Absolutely.
What was top of mind for you this weekend?
Well, of course, obviously, the the opening ceremonies are always great to see. But, you know, you couldn't help but feel bad for Lindsey Vonn and her falling. But, you know, to first of all, I'm just in awe of this person.
Yes.
And just coming back and training from an injury at 41 years old, just making the team was an accomplishment. And that torn ACL just last week, I guess she just felt, hey, you know, with her mother passing recently, she just had to give it a go. And she tried it and it just didn't work out. And I'm sure she's going to bounce back. But to me, she'll always be a champion.
It's interesting that the height of that mental intensity, right? A doctor is telling you have completely torn your ACL, but you can't get out of that headspace. I mean, in her mind, I'm sure it was, you're here, you have to go, you have to give it a shot. It was wild to witness. But then Breezy came through. So that was also kind of vindicating in the sense for USA.
Yeah. It's just an incredible, like, testament to the strength, like the mental and physical strength of these athletes. The fact that, I mean, I went on a long rabbit hole on the ability, what one can do with a blown ACL.
Right. Oh.
And I mean, it essentially came down to, obviously there's different motions in skiing, but also the muscles in her leg are just so strong that she's able to, I mean, she completed a couple trial runs before Sunday, and those muscles are just so strong around her knee to compensate for that lack of an ACL.
And then, I mean, it's sort of thinking to the future, this is probably the last time she would be able to compete. So it's sort of like, well, let's just go for it.
Let's go for it.
Yeah, I admire that for sure. I watched a bit of curling, which I know is sometimes not seen as the most athletic of events, but I have tried it, and I will say, my obliques were very sore the next morning.
We had curling in high school, Oak Park River Forest High School. This was an elective in gym class in PE. So curling, I mean, it qualifies the state guidelines at least for fitness.
They have an Olympian there on the curling team. I believe he's 50 years old. So it gives me hope that, you know, if I take it up, why not?
You know? And then you'll have really clean floors too.
There you go.
Practice. Also to note, local pride Hillary Knight, Lake Forest resident, and the U.S. women's ice hockey captain scored her 14th goal on Olympic ice, tying an all-time Olympic record. The team went on to win that match 5-0 against Finland, and the U.S. faces off against Canada tomorrow in a preliminary round game, so we will be watching that. Claire, other news you're watching?
This is related back to the Super Bowl, but sporty nonetheless. Chicago's Grant Park Music Festival director was actually featured on a pretty big stage this weekend. This is Giancarlo Guerrero, performed with Bad Bunny. He was part of the Symphony of Sound during the show last night. He conducted a group of musicians during the song Monaco. Guerrero said in a statement that Bad Bunny's music, quote, feels like home. The conductor was actually born in Nicaragua. He also says that his daughters and his wife are really big Bunny fans and that he hadn't said yes to the chance to perform with the quote, if he hadn't, they would have never forgiven
of course.
Him, obviously. So, I mean, you get to play at the Super Bowl and support Bad Bunny.
That's win-win. Super cool. Super cool. Little Chicago connection there, too.
Well, I was looking for those on Be Easy, you know.
Yes, of course, of course. Well, sticking with the sporty theme, Michael, we could soon hear from former Chicago Cub Anthony Rizzo on NBC's Major League Baseball broadcast. The announcement was made during Sunday's Super Bowl pregame, Always good to hear a Chicago voice on national television, right?
Absolutely. You know, remember, you played 14 seasons with three teams, especially the 2016 World Series champions, Chicago Cubs. You know, it's funny. I actually never seen him play with the Cubs. I did see him play with the Yankees, you know. But, hey, you know, Rizzo is a beloved fan favorite, knows his baseball, so he's going to be welcome in the booth, so it's great.
Yeah, that's great. And then, Michael, another sports news, Chicago Bulls super fans could soon own their own piece of Bulls history if they've got enough money to spend. Tell us about that.
That's right. Former Bulls great Scottie Pippen is putting some of his personal memorabilia up for auction, including the jersey he won during the Bulls championship win in 1998, the NBA Finals. So Crane Chicago reports the collection is expected to be worth over $6 million. Ooh. So other items up for auction include a pair of Air Jordans worn by Michael Jordan during the 1992 Dream Team Olympics gold medal game. So the auction is set to begin next month. So, you know, I'm going to look under, you know, my pillows and see where I can afford some of this stuff.
We'll pull our money together, yeah, you know, and it'll just be a roving pair of shoes.
There you go. Because I have a feeling this current crop of Bulls, they're not going to have the same ability to sell off their Bulls artifacts.
Yeah, I mean, too many trades happening too, so that might not work out. Well, as we look into the rest of the week, what will you all be looking out for, Sophie?
Oh, goodness. I think more of the same. We'll see, as Michael was hinting on, Eileen O'Neill Burke responding again over the weekend to some of these executive order positions. We'll see what Mayor Brandon Johnson has to say about all that.
Yeah, and Michael.
Well, we got to be seeing those storylines coming out of the Olympics, you know, but it seems like every day with politics, something new is bound to come up. I'm looking forward to warmer weather, perhaps melting some of this snow that just needs to leave already. But, you know, we're on there. We're monitoring. It's always a new day every day.
Yeah, we're seeing some days that are going to be in the 40s. Yes. This week, so looking forward to that. Well, we've been talking to WBEZ's Claire Lane and Michael Puente and Chicago Sun-Times reporter Sophie Sherry. Thank you to you all.
This episode of In the Loop was produced by me, Dan Tucker, and edited by Ethan Schwab. Sasha Ann Simons is our host. For more in-depth coverage of news and culture in Chicago, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. For a full archive of the show, head over to wbez.org/in the loop. And thanks for listening.